February 4th, 2024. The Lord is my shepherd, part 2, Psalm 23.
Okay, today's reading is the 23rd Psalm. I know it, but I also know if I didn't bring my Bible, I was going to stutter or do something. 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That ends the reading.
Okay, thank you, Steve. All right, we started this, of course, last week, the exposition on the 23rd Psalm, and, of course, probably the most well-known of all of the Psalms, maybe perhaps the most beloved of all. And as I mentioned last week, Charles Spurgeon, famous preacher from England, called it the Pearl of Psalms. Father God, we thank you today as we once again share in this, your holy word, and thank you for this beautiful psalm, Lord, that brings peace, it brings comfort to our hearts every time that we express it, and whether it be in prayer, in our speech, and even put to music at times, Lord God, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord God, that through that shepherd David, Lord, that he has, through the writing of this psalm, has just been able to express the blessing of knowing our shepherd, our Lord and our Savior. And so be with us today as we continue in this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so, Lord is my shepherd, and last week, we just got through verse 1, and as I began that study, I roughly divided, and I don't know if anybody else does that, but sometimes you look at a thing, and you kind of look at it in you might say, in portions, and this first verse, as we said, was almost a standalone thing, a profession of faith, where verse 2 through 14, the trust in the Lord is expressed. Verse 5, the vindication in him. And verse 6, the unbounded hope. So we just got through verse 1 last week. The Lord is my shepherd. And in that verse, of course, for the Christian immediately recognizes Jesus as the great shepherd. And we saw it as what we said, a reciprocal relationship. Jesus in John 10 said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. The good news, as Jesus said, we are personally, you might say, known by the Lord and by the shepherd at the deepest level. He expressed that in what he said in Matthew 10, are not sparrows sold for a cent, yet not one of them will fall to the ground without my knowledge. So, and we, of course, reciprocally are to know him to the best of our ability as well, and as you might say, at that same level as him. The sense of the word here, when we looked at that, to know is to know by experience as well. In other words, to be walking with God. We did a whole series on that. And that is what we're to do, to walk with God. And it kind of has a parallel in when Jesus was asked that one time, you know, about what are the greatest of the commands. And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. walk with me. And that is the way we are to know him. Okay, and then the second part of the verse was, I shall not want. And in other words, what it means is, I shall lack nothing. And we saw that from the Hebrew word as well. I shall lack nothing. Okay, so that's where we left off. So I shall not want. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says this, I lack nothing. I will lack nothing. So quite naturally, following that, those verses will lead us to the provision of the shepherd for his sheep. And so, again, the next verse begins, He makes me lie down. And that is, Holman Christian Standard says it a little differently. He says, he lets me lie down. But I don't think it expresses it properly. The word there, the way we read it, it is as if the shepherd himself, he causes us to lie down, not just allows us to lie down. And if you look at that verse, he makes me lie down. There's five words there. It's translated from only two Hebrew words. Ani, which is the personal pronoun, me, and rabats, which means to lie down. And it means essentially to lie down in peace. And we find it about 30 times in the Old Testament that it is used. And it is always used in that sense, to make one to lie down in peace. Numerous times, or a number of times, we see that it refers to the shepherd's flock also, that there it is to lie and to rest in peace. For example, Song of Solomon 1:7, Jeremiah 33:12, and other places. We also see that word in Ezekiel. And I'm going to turn to that for a moment, read a few verses out of Ezekiel. When the shepherd is to gather his sheep back to their homeland. So Ezekiel 34. Let me just read a few verses there. Verse 11 through 15, 16. For thus says the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I'll search for my sheep. Here again, we see that reference to God himself, the Lord, seeking out his sheep. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep. I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and glorious day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost and bring back the scattered, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy, and I will feed them with judgment. It sounds almost exactly like David was saying in Psalm 23. So what we see here is it implies that when he says he will make them lie down, makes in that verse, he makes, you can draw that once again from that kind of grammatical construction that is talking about the Lord God. Now, one of the things we're told, and you see this in a number of different places about sheep, they are among the most difficult, perhaps, of animals to tend. And at that, some would say among the dumbest. They will not lie down under certain circumstances. And last week, remember, I mentioned a fellow by the name of Philip Keller. And he was a shepherd for 8 years, became a pastor and an author, and he wrote a book, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. And he pointed out three, four different things that sheep will absolutely not lie down if they are agitated. And perhaps the first among these is fear. It is fear. Fear for personal safety from any harm. I did a sermon series a while back called Fear, Faith's Enemy. And in that I suggested that perhaps the greatest enemy to faith is fear. It is kind of like a kamikaze or a stealth bomber because it has such corrosive effects on our faith. And so sheep will not lie down if they are in fear. You've probably seen in some of these Western movies, remember the cow herd at night, the cowboys out there and trying to keep the herd quieted down because there is either fear or agitation among them, whether it be from wild animals or rustlers or whatever. You've probably seen that. So the shepherd then, he causes the sheep to lie down. How can he do that though? If they are agitated. If they are agitated, and if they are fearful. Well, I think we can look to verse 4 to begin to kind of get an idea there. And let's look at that verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again, this is one part of that verse that so many people remember. The valley of the shadow of death. You know, and the verse itself seems to provide be a negative thought rather than to provide upliftance in the scripture, which of course it does. This is, again, this psalm is one of the most uplifting things. So what is the psalmist saying? And of course, one of the greatest fears that people have is death or dying. And I would suggest that perhaps for those who are unbelievers, they may be like that man who whistles as he walks through the cemetery. That fear may be centered more, not so much on death and dying, but what happens after death. Or like Shakespeare's Macbeth, he may have that attitude of hopelessness that is embodied in that famous line, life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts, frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. Maybe like these. So Death Valley, as we look at it in this psalm, may perhaps be the most effective way to reach a person who is lost. Now, you don't just walk up to someone and say, "Hi, Frank, I sure good to see you again. And by the way, where are you going when you die?" Doesn't work that way, does it? But the point being this is, one, if there is an opening in a conversation with one, and they don't know, they don't have the answers, they don't know Jesus, but we can lead them perhaps to Christ through that simple question. What's going to happen when you do die? Many of you have probably seen the evangelist, and I think it's Greg, or is it Craig, Lori? Anybody know? I think it's Greg, isn't it? Greg? Yeah, you've probably seen his brief ad. And it's been, I think, on Max News, and it's been on Fox. It's only a short ad. Where are you going to go when you die? Where are you going to go? And he gives, of course, he tells you what the answer is going to be, but it's very brief. It's a great opening. Because sometimes, you know, we can talk about, well, do you know Jesus as your Lord? You know, have you asked forgiveness of your sins? That sort of thing. But boy, something that'll bring a person around sometimes is, what's going to happen when you die? And they may be like the guy I described, whistling through the cemetery, hoping it's over when it's over. But the picture that is painted here, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is like one walking through perhaps a deep canyon And perhaps you've experienced that with high walls, blocking out the light or creating shadows, and those shadows change as you walk through that canyon. I think many times as I've read that or prayed that, as I say, I pray that every day. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I kind of think of when I was a kid, and was it fourth, fifth, and sixth grade? I was an altar boy. And I got the 6 a.m. service Monday through Friday every second week of the year. You could count on it. You'd be sitting in your fifth grade class, and this little card would come from the nun who ran the altar boys, and it would say, next week, 6 a.m., Monday through Friday. And of course, I was the only server at that time, in that morning. On June, the day you got out of school for the summer, you got the same card, but it said, 6 a.m., Monday through Friday, week this, and this until September. But I remember that because I would go on to serve and leave home at 5:30 in the morning. Summertime, great, bright, sunny, but in the winter, pretty dark. And actually, I kind of liked it. Pretty quiet. City was quiet. But you would get to the church, and there was this big cathedral, high walls here, another high wall here, and this long, dark corridor you had to walk through to get to the door. And sometimes you had to feel to find the handle. And it was a big iron door, and you'd open that door, and when it would slam shut, that whole cathedral would echo. Every time I read this, I think of that, walking through that shadow. But you know what? I never was afraid. I remember that part of it. It was rather, you might say, an adventure. And you knew. You were going to church. You're going to church. It was a good thought. But as we walk through our life, there is that shadow of death. You know, and many look at this and think that we're talking only about, you know, being on our deathbed, that shadow of death. But you know, that shadow of death, it's there. It's all around us. We know that. That specter. We are aware. I mean, it's not in our mind all the time of our mortality. But death is evidenced in many other ways. Sickness, financial worries, the wayward child. All of these things. But, you see, we don't concentrate on that. We'll notice what the verse says. But, even though all of this, even though I walk through that valley of shadow, I fear no evil. Even though all of the above, I fear no evil. I have that confidence. I have that confidence. You see, the psalmist, he knew something, didn't he? Yeah, I'm going to pass through this shadow perhaps many times in my life, but yet I fear no evil, and I have good reason. And it doesn't say, the verse says, I fear no evil. It doesn't say, I will fear no evil. Get a little bit different. I fear no evil. It's a constant. It's a constant. Not looking ahead that maybe something's going to happen, I will fear no evil. Or when I walk through the valley of the shadow. It's not when. We kind of walk through it in all our life. And so the psalmist, David, has that knowledge that through life, or walking through, is a life experience. And that should be our confession as well. Even though any of this stuff exists and comes around us, I fear no evil. I fear no evil. Is that hubris? Is that bravado? To say I fear no evil? Well, we fear no evil because and we have good reason not to. So we read that verse. I fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me. You, my shepherd, the one I have that intimate relationship with Jesus, and with me he has that relationship. He knows me fully, knows everything that's going through in my life. I fear no evil because you are with me. If you notice the first three verses, it's he makes me, he restores my soul, he guides me. He's telling you all about it. But now he's got this personal relationship as well that he is pointing out. He's speaking to the Lord. You are with me. And we can do that in our prayers. And when we bring things before me, we can say to him, you are my shepherd and you are with me. I wonder, this Psalm 23, was it the inspiration, perhaps, for that famous poem many of you, I'm sure, know, Footprints in the Sand? I don't know, everybody familiar with that? I'm sure maybe some are not. But it's a brief poem, and always there's a little bit of a photo with it, and you see footprints in the sand, you know, walking along a beach, just the prince. And the poem, of course, it begins, the man is having this dream about various, it's like a slideshow, one that works, not like this. It's like a slideshow, looking at the various events in his life. Oh, I'm sure he sees his perhaps as a child, some great things happening. When he got his puppy dog, when he got married. But then there were those things when his wife perhaps died. Other things like that. These slides go through. And as he sees them, he sees the footprints in the sand. And there's always two sets of footprints. And he recognizes it. That's my footprints, and it's the Lord's. But he notices this, that every time there is this deep shadow that took place in his life, all of a sudden, there's only one set of prints. And so he goes to the Lord, you know, you said you'd be with me always. Where were you? Where were you in these difficult times? And he says, my son, he says, don't you know that is when I was carrying you? Amazing thought. We see this same thing in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, in the 13th chapter. A couple of verses there. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, and this is a quotation from Deuteronomy, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, and he quotes from Psalm 118, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I will not fear. What can man do to me? No fear. In fact, I think, isn't that a motto somewhere I think I've seen? No fear. Probably some, undoubtedly some sports thing, I think. No fear. In the Great Commission, that's one of the things that Jesus himself promised. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. So we see in this verse, even though I fear no evil, first because you are with me, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will lead you through that shadow, like the shepherd. I will lead you through. I will be with you always. And then we fear no evil. Why? He says, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They bring comfort to me. Well, the rod and the staff. The rod, of course, as you well, I'm sure, know, was used to ward off predators, to protect the sheep. Protect the sheep. The rod, as applied to us can allay any of those fears that we have that may arise within us. And of course, he will protect us from evil as well. The shepherd's staff was often a crooked staff, which was used to guide and to restrain any of the wayward in the flock. It's a good deal for us. It's a good deal for us. The staff was used to discipline, one would say. And what does the Bible tell us in Hebrews 12? It tells us that God disciplines his children whenever necessary. Whenever necessary and for our good. Further, it tells us that without that discipline, we would be as illegitimate children. Just before starting here at church, at the church here, 2000, whatever that was, we were on our way leaving and met with Byron and Mary here before we were going to Australia to do a project in the mining business there. And when we got there, of course, as you may know, the big sheep country. And people, even though they're not shepherds, lots of sheep dogs, lots of sheep dogs. And we would walk in the evening from the hotel room, and nearby there was a training field and people were training their dogs. I don't know if they were all sheep dogs, but that's what it seemed like most people had. But on the last night, last week there, we went out to dinner with some of the managers from the mine, and they were talking about one of the families. They had a sheepdog, and of course they didn't have any sheep. The dog was never trained. It was never trained in shepherding. But they noticed one day, they had a family get-together, as with a family get-together, bunch of little children, young ones, 1, 2 years old, 3, whatever, out in the yard playing. And they kept an eye on them out there, but they noticed that dog, that sheepdog, herded those children instinctively. Kept watch over them, and they said it was pretty funny to see, but they never expected that. The reason I mention that, because that sheepdog today is kind of like the rod and the staff for those shepherds. There was a video just on the news 2 days ago. A huge flock of sheep, and right in the middle, all you could see, they were in a building, but they're all gathered together. You could see this face of the sheepdog. And that's all you could see. All these sheep just loving that dog, licking them and pushing them and up against them. He was their rod and their staff, kind of a substitute for the shepherd. So, we fear no evil, because he is with us always. We experience his rod and his staff. Just one final thought, though, too. We know in verse 4 where it says, even though I walk through. Walking through implies making it safely to the other side, doesn't it? He always will carry us to the other side. We have a song in our hymnal. In fact, it's number 312. You'll be familiar with it. Andre Crouch. Through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. And through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Through it all. So next week then, we will return to verse 2, get back to that, and complete it where David paints that idyllic picture of the shepherd's divine provision for us. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so today, and we did pray for folks today, but there may be others today who are walking through a shadow, some sort of shadow in their life, or some of your family members, or some of your friends, or some of your others that you know may be walking through that shadow. And let us just take a moment before we conclude to pray for them. Father, we do thank you that we have Jesus who is with us as we travel that road, as we walk through that valley, as we walk through life, Lord. And there may be shadows that overtake us at times, but we fear no evil because you are with us. And because, Lord God, you have your staff especially that draws us back to you. And so we pray for folks today, that someone here perhaps, someone we know, as we lift them up in prayer, who are walking through a particular difficult life, part in their life. We lift them before you, that the Savior, the Lord Jesus, be with them, to walk with them, to lead them, to guide them, and to take them to this place of safety. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.